Well, I want to start off this morning by asking you to consider something. And I think this is really a good message for our Graduate Recognition Sunday. If I were to ask you to consider or to list or to think about what is your most precious commodity, what would you say? I'm sure some people would say, well, my most precious commodity is my family, and I understand that. That is, family is a precious thing. Others would probably say something more like, well, the most precious thing we have today that we really need to guard and that we need to really pay attention to would be our finances, our money, our possessions. These are things that we need to consider as most precious, and I understand that philosophy to a certain degree. Others might say, well, our most precious commodity in this country is our freedom in this country. We've got a tremendous country, tremendous freedoms, a great governmental system that was set up by our founding fathers, and that is our most precious commodity. And I understand that reasoning up to a certain point. But what it all comes down to, and this is what the Bible actually says, our most precious commodity, the thing that we have that we don't have an unlimited amount of. I mean, let's face it. We can have an unlimited amount of money. You can always go out and make more money if you're willing to work and if you're willing to learn, if you're willing to apply yourself. You can always get more of that. The one thing that we have that's limited, that there's no more of, and when it's gone, and there's nothing that we can do about it. The one thing that we have that's not unlimited is time. Time. We only have a certain amount of time. I understand the expression, we can make more time. The fact of the matter is, there's only 24 hours in a day. We can't literally make more time. We can carve out sections of time that we have, but we only have a limited amount of time. There's only a limited amount of time in a day, in a month, in a year. You and I only have a limited amount of time that we call our life. It's going to come to an end at some point, and at some point there's not going to be any more of it. I mean, we know that for certain. One out of every one person dies. Time actually is our most precious commodity. And we all have only a limited amount of that. And the opportunities that are presented to us in our lifetime, our limited lifetime, likewise, those opportunities are valuable. Because just like time, once those opportunities are gone, they're gone. You can't get them back. Sometimes we live with the consequences of either taking advantage of our opportunities or not taking advantage of the opportunities. Sometimes the consequences of those decisions do linger, no doubt about that. But the actual opportunity, whether to seize it, whether to take it, whether to go with it, or whether to let it go by, once those opportunities are gone, they're gone. Let me give you a couple of quotes from some men that had given some thoughts to the idea of time. Quote, "There is a tide in the affairs of men, which, taken at its ebb, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is drowned in the shallows and miseries of life." That's the words of a man that thought about time. You know who wrote those words? William Shakespeare. I don't agree with everything that William Shakespeare said or did, but that's an accurate statement. Let me give you another one. "There is in the midst of every great battle 10 to 15 minute time that is the crucial point. Take that period and you win the battle. Lose it and you will be defeated." You probably already figured out that's a military individual that made that statement. And again, I don't agree with everything, by no means do I agree with everything this man said and did, but he was accurate in this assessment of time. That was Napoleon Bonaparte that made that statement. We need to be thinking about time. a day of in which we celebrate the graduation of Dylan. This is a time that all of us need to be thinking about our time. This is a moment that Dylan needs to be thinking about his time. What we do with our time is critical, beloved. What we do with our season of life, with the critical moments in that season of life, what we do with these things matters. It makes a difference. And I'm certain, I know for a fact that we can all look at one of those critical moments. We all have those critical moments. Every one of us can look back at least one, if not multitudes, of those critical moments. And we can say either we seized it and we did something with it and the result was good, or we can look back at those moments and we can say, you know, I let that slip by and I regret that. I should have seized it, but I didn't. I let it slip by and that opportunity was lost. We've been studying here in the book of Ephesians, and we're looking at this section in Ephesians chapter 5 that I'm calling Living the Light Life. Living the light life, walking as children of light, living that kind of life that the Apostle Paul has called upon us to live. Following Jesus, living that kind of life that we should as children of God, number one, and particularly with the context of the book of Ephesians, children of God who are living under the roof of the Father's house, living in the house of God, living in the house of the Heavenly Father. And I get this idea from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness," referring to their condition, what they used to be. "Now are ye light in the Lord." Now you're no longer darkness, you are light in the Lord. And so since we are now in that condition, the call is to walk, to be walking about, to be living our lives as children of light. So that's what we've been looking at, living the light life. And we noticed number one, that there's a non-participation clause. We saw that. If we're going to live the light life, if we're going to walk as children of light, there are certain things that we just simply cannot participate in. According to verses 11 through 14, we cannot be participating with the fruits of darkness. We just cannot live life that way. If we're going to live the light life, we can't live the dark life. That just makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, that's just obvious. We cannot be participating in that old life that we have come out from as a result of first trusting in Jesus as Savior and then going through the waters of separation as a believer of baptism and being separated unto the Heavenly Father in living under His roof in this New Testament church. We simply cannot be participating with the evil works of darkness. It's just not possible. We can't do that and live the light life. And then last time we began looking at this. If we're going to live the light life, we've got to be watching our step. If we're going to live the light life, we must be watching our step. And we began to introduce this to you last time. And we looked at this in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Notice what it says. "See then that ye walk," live, walk about is the idea. "See then that you walk circumspectly." We noticed this expression, this phrase, last time. Be seeing, be putting your mind to, be putting your eye upon, be watching how accurately you all are walking about. Be giving attendance. Be watching. Putting your eye on. Giving heed that you all are walking about, living carefully, living accurately. You see, we need to be watching our step to live the light life. You and I, as children of God, you and I, as members of this New Testament church, we're going to live the light life. We need to be watching our step. See, our steps require monitoring. We need to be monitoring how we walk. Monitoring how we live. Paying attention to how we live. Paying attention to our lifestyle and to our walk. We need to be focusing on the fact that we are following Jesus. We need to be focusing on how accurately we're following Jesus. We need to be giving attention, giving heed, putting our eye on whether we are following Jesus more closely today than we were yesterday. And if we'll be following Jesus more closely tomorrow than we are today. We need to be monitoring that, giving heed to that, keeping our eye on that, focusing on those things. Be watching that you're following Jesus carefully, closely, and accurately. Now, there's one word in that expression that we did not look at last time, and it's this word that I've highlighted, then. This word that's translated then, we see this mostly translated as the word therefore. Alright? The word therefore. And remember, there's a question that we always ask ourselves, what's therefore, therefore? The word therefore is such an important word because it shows us so much in the context. And so every time as we're studying the Bible, we see the word therefore, we need to ask ourselves the question, what's therefore, therefore? Well, therefore does two things. It, number one, it looks back. And here in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is wanting us to look back for a moment. The word therefore looks back. What are we looking back at? Well, looking back in the context and seeing what the Apostle Paul has already written and what he wanted us to understand. Number one, he's given us counsel on how we're to live, how we're to walk. Back in chapter 5, verse 8, we are to walk as children of light. We are to live the light life. And looking back, we also see what we should not do. We should not be participating in the works of darkness. We should not be doing those things. That's what we've been counseled to do. So, looking back on those things, okay, then the word therefore looks forward. Cold, and I've got a head full of something, and I'm really struggling with my voice this morning. We look back and we look forward, and what that look forward does is it says this, because of the fact that we're to be living the light life, because of the fact that the Apostle Paul's instructed us that we're not to be participating in the works of darkness, because those things are true, then therefore, we're to be walking circumspectly. Therefore, we're to be keeping our eye on how accurately we're walking. Therefore, we are to be keeping our focus on our following of Jesus, how accurately, how carefully, and how closely we are following Him. We are to be minding our steps to be following Jesus accurately. Now, that's where we left off last time. Let's look at the rest of this verse. And then the next two verses, and these things will give us the nuts and the bolts of walking circumspectly. These next two things we're going to look at, next three things we're going to look at that's going to give us the how that we're to be walking circumspectly, and then the circumstances in which we're to be walking circumspectly. So notice, as we look at the remainder of verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, the word that's translated fool is literally the same word that's translated wise, only it has a particle on the front of it. Not as, let me give you the Greek words and you'll see what I'm talking about. Not as asophoi, but as sophos. Okay, wise as sophos. Like our English word, it's transliterated into English as sophisticated. Okay? Or some of you, if you've ever noticed, known a woman who is named Sophie. That's where the word comes from. It's a Greek word that means wise. Okay? We're not to be walking as we are to be walking circumspectly. We're to be keeping our eyes on our walk. We're to be watching our step. How that we will not be walking as unwise ones, as ones who are negating wisdom, but as ones who are wise. Okay? Now let's look at this word wise for just a moment. There's a really strong contrast in this idea. The word wise, what does the word wise mean? A person who is wise is someone who has the ability to use knowledge for correct behavior. That's what it means to be wise. It has nothing to do with intelligence. It has nothing to do with IQ. You can have a high IQ and not be wise. You can have the highest IQ that's ever been recorded on the face of the earth in the history of man and not be wise, because wisdom is all about being able to skillfully take what you know and apply it for correct or right behavior. Wisdom is acquired intelligence. It's acquired understanding. that results from applying what you know skillfully for a result in wise conduct. Being wise is not just being intelligent. Being wise is not just having experience. Being wise is having experience that is skillfully and rightfully applied. That's wisdom. You take what you know and you can apply it rightfully in your walk or in your lifestyle. That's wisdom. Okay? Now, let's look at this idea of wisdom from the point of view of context. Contextually, what is it, what is Paul talking about in this context that is the difference between being unwise and wise? What is the difference contextually that Paul is telling us as we are to be watching our step? What's the difference in this contrast of being somebody who is negating our wisdom or someone who is practicing wisdom? Well, contextually, the issue here we want to look at is this. Whether you are wise or unwise is determined by whether or not you are living the right life. It's just that simple. That's the determination of whether you are wise or not. You're either living the right life, you're walking as children of light, that means you're wise. Or you're not walking as children of light, you're not living the light life, you are stumbling around in a spiritual stupor among the dead, as the Apostle Paul said in the previous verse. You're participating in the evil works of darkness, that means you are unwise, you see. That's the idea. That's what he's telling us. Question, are you sleepwalking in a spiritual stupor like the Apostle Paul said that we shouldn't be doing in verse 14? Or are you watching your step, as the Apostle Paul has told us here in verse 15? That's the difference between being wise and unwise. It's that simple. It's not that hard. Are you taking care to be accurately walking as a follower of Jesus, as a member of this house of God, or are you living in those old man clothes? You remember we talked about that. This congregation at Ephesus, these were people that had a lot of baggage and a lot of scars. And the reason why they had a lot of baggage and a lot of scars is they were worshiping in paganism. You say, well, what's the difference? The difference is worshiping in paganism involved a lot of immorality, it involved a lot of drunkenness, and it involved a lot of abuse of substances. That's what they did as a part of their worship in paganism. Okay? So now here we are. Now they've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now they've been saved. They're believers. They've been baptized. They're in covenant relationship together as a house of God, a New Testament church. And I'm telling you, coming out of paganism, these people had baggage and they had scars. And we talked about this. The Apostle Paul has told us that we need to take that baggage and we need to lock it up and put it in a storage locker and throw away the key. So the question is, are you wise or are you unwise? Unwise living is a person who's a child of God, a member of a New Testament church, and they're constantly going back to that storage locker and opening it up and pulling that baggage out and opening that baggage up and wearing those old clothes and going around and living that old lifestyle. That's unwise, you see. Not allowing those scars to heal, but going out and hanging out in the old ways, doing the old things with the old folks that you used to do them with, and opening up new scars. Beloved, that's unwise, you see. Now, I know there might be some that are going to roll their eyes and they're going to say, "Preacher, you just don't get it. Preacher, you just don't understand. That's just not the way it works out here in the real world." And there may be some that they're going to sigh heavenly. You know how that is. "Preacher, you just don't understand. You don't know how it is with me." I'll be honest with you, no, I don't. But I do know what the Bible says. Amen. And I do know that the Bible tells us very, very clearly, in no uncertain terms, but if we're going to be wise, we must live the right life. If we're going to be unwise, then we're going to be stumbling around in a spiritual stupor, living in the darkness and participating with the evil works of darkness. And I'm telling you, you cannot live the old life and live the light life at the same time. They do not agree together. They do not merge. They go in different directions. And you're saying, no, you don't understand, preacher. I'm the exception to the rule. No, you're not. You have baggage and you have scars just like every one of the rest of us have baggage and have scars. And the difference is some deal with it and some don't. It's that simple.
Right.
Somebody says, preacher, I'm trying. Quit trying and just follow Jesus.
Amen.
Quit trying and just follow Jesus as closely as you can. Quit trying and just be obedient to His Word, you see. Let's be wise. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling us. Be watching your step. That's wise. Not watching your step, that's unwise.
Right.
See. Now, in going into the next verse, verse 16, notice this first word that we see in the verse, redeeming. Alright? This word redeeming is telling us the circumstances by which we're to be watching our step. The circumstances by which we are to be walking circumspectly. These are the circumstances how we are to be walking circumspectly. Let me put it to you this way. There are no other circumstances by which we can be watching our step than to be redeeming the time. If you think there's a different way that you can do this, that's not what the Scriptures say. You think, no, I can watch my step a different way than what this verse is going to teach me. No, there are no other circumstances by which you and I can watch our step than by redeeming the time.
Amen.
Okay? So let's make sure we understand that. There is no option A. There is no plan B. There is no other alternative. There is no other path to take. If we're going to be watching our step, we must be redeeming the time. Alright? Now let's look at the word redeeming for just a moment. This word redeeming. Back up one. This word redeeming. You know what the word means? It literally means to be buying it out. It's the idea of you go into the store and you see that one thing you've been looking for that the store hardly ever carries, and you see it, and you say, I'm always running out of this stuff and I never can find it. And you see they've got tons of them. You just clear the shelf off and you say, I'm going to buy every single one of them. That's what this word redeeming means. It's buying it out for yourself, actually. You are buying out for yourself. There's nobody else there that's helping you clean the shelves off. There's no one else there helping you put everything all in that basket. You are buying this thing out for yourself so that when you walk out of the store, there's none left because you got all of it. Okay? That's what the word redeeming literally means. You're buying it out for yourself. Okay? This is what walking in wisdom is. Recognizing the idea of opportunity. You see, redeeming the time, redeeming the season is the idea. Buying out the time. You know what that's saying? It's saying that we are making the most of our opportunity.
Amen.
Making the most of our opportunity. Buying out all the possibilities that are available. If you will, wringing out every last drop of the opportunity. That's what redeeming the time is talking about. So that there is nothing left of that opportunity because you bought it all out. Now, that's walking in wisdom.
Right.
When we live that way. Recognizing the opportunity. Recognizing the opportunity is now.
Amen.
And not later. Because you have no guarantee of later. I know that's kind of morbid. But the simple fact of the matter is, you and I don't have a guarantee of later.
Right.
Okay, let's say we do have a later. You and I have no guarantee that that opportunity is going to come by again later.
Right.
Okay. Walking in wisdom is seeing the opportunity, recognize the opportunity, buying it out, wringing out, making the most of it, because seeing the opportunity now, not thinking that you'll do it later, that's unwise. Wisdom means realizing we have a limited season. We do. You and I have a limited season. It's called life. Right?
Right.
Whether you're like Dylan and you're just graduating from college and you feel like you got your entire life in front of you, Dylan may have 50, 60, 70, 80 years in front of him. I just visited with a lady that's a member of this church on Friday. Kelly and I did. She's 99 years old. Still sharp as a tack. Her body has failed her. But she's still 99. It may be that you and I will have 99 years. Or it may be that we only have 50 or less years. We don't know. Okay? We do know this. Our lives have a specific segment of time.
Right.
It's called birth and death. And we live in this segment of time that's in between.
Right.
Okay? So if we're going to be wise, we're going to be redeeming that time. We're going to be making the most of that time. We're going to be making the most of that opportunity. Wisdom means realizing we have a limited season. Let me give you one more quote of a man who had thought a lot about time. And this quote is actually from the Bible. Psalm 90:12. This is a quote from David. So teach us to number our days. Lord, teach us to recognize we only have a certain number of days. And teach us to recognize we don't know what that number is.
Right.
Teach us to recognize that we can only live one day at a time.
Amen.
Teach us to recognize, teach us, Lord, to number our days. Why? Look at this. So that we may apply our hearts unto, what's that word?
Wisdom.
Teach us, Lord, to number our days so that we can apply our hearts, apply our minds, apply our lives unto wise use of that time.
Amen.
Unto wise use of those days. David thought a lot about time, didn't he?
Yeah.
He sure did. Wisdom accounts for the fact that we only have a limited amount of it. And wisdom buys out the opportunity. Wisdom sees the opportunity that's before us for good, and grabs it up because it's opportunity for serving God. Okay? Okay, so why do we need to buy out the time right now? Somebody says, what's the urgency? Why is it that we need to be constantly redeeming? Redeeming is ongoing activity. This is something that never ends. It's something we're to be doing all the time. Living is something that we do all the time, right?
Right.
Living as children of light. Walking as children of light. That's something that we're to be doing all the time. Walking circumspectly. That's ongoing activity. It's something that we're to be doing all the time. Redeeming the time is ongoing activity. It's something we're to be constantly doing. Why should we be constantly be doing it? Because the days are evil. The days in which our segment of life exists are evil days. You say, what does that mean? Well, it means that the current of this world's days are against us. It means we're swimming against the current if we're following Jesus. It means that if we're serving Jesus, if we're serving God and we're following Jesus, that means the days, the concept, the influences of these days, they're against us. This word evil literally means toil and labors. We're going to have to toil and labor against the current, against the influences of the days in which our season of life is found. So that's why we need to be redeeming every opportunity to serve God and to live the light life that we can. Because the days are against us. The days are evil. The influences are opposed to us, you see. Take advantage of every opportunity. Because the days are full of hindrances. Have you ever figured that one out? The days are full of diversions. Have you noticed that in your life? There's always something that seeks to divert you away from the path of following Jesus. The days are full of difficulties that seek to draw us away from making the most of these opportunities. So take advantage of every opportunity you have. Buy it out. Because these days, they're working against us. Okay? They're working against us. Verse 17. So, this consideration. Notice that word wherefore in verse 17. Wherefore, literally means because of this thing. Because of what? Well, because number one, the opportunities and the time to take advantage of those opportunities are limited. You better get that one. If you don't get anything else, understand your opportunities and your time to take advantage of these opportunities in your life are limited. It's not unlimited. Those opportunities may not come around again, and you may not have time to seize control of that opportunity when it comes around again, because you might wake up dead before that happens. Understand, number one, our opportunities and the time to seize those opportunities are limited because of that. And because of number two, the days are evil. Yeah, we can seize the opportunities and we can take advantage of the opportunities, but the days are working against us. The hindrances are working against us. The diversions of this culture are working against us, okay? So because the time and the opportunities are limited, and because number two, the days are evil, because of this thing, that's what the word wherefore is telling us, right? Because of this truth, wherefore, be ye not unwise. Now let's talk about the word unwise here for just a moment. Because this word that's translated unwise in verse 17 is not the same word that's translated unwise or foolish in verse 15. This is a different word. This word literally means to be not thinking. Wherefore, be not unthinking ones. Don't be unthinking ones. Don't be those who are negating the act of thinking. How many times have I been guilty of negating the act of thinking? Too many times, I hate to have to admit. Probably the same with each one of you. Don't be negating your thinking. Don't be refusing to use your mind. Don't be senseless, is what he's saying. Listen, it makes sense. I mean, this is just common sense. This is just simple stuff. Watching your step, being ready to seize every opportunity when you see it, requires that you and I use our minds. It requires that we be thinking. It calls upon us to think. And I know Dylan's thinking, hey, great, I'm out of college. I don't have to think anymore. No, your thinking's just started, brother. It's just now getting started, okay? Sleepwalking in a spiritual stupor, as the Apostle Paul mentioned back in verse 14, where he said, "Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light." If you're going to sleepwalk through a spiritual stupor of living like the old man, that's going to result in not thinking, okay? Not being alert, not watching your step. Not buying out all of the opportunities that present themselves before you. You see, what Paul is saying is, don't get lulled to sleep by these evil days and this evil culture. Always be thinking. Always be using your mind. Always be using your mind to apply it to the Word of God. Always be using your mind to apply the Word of God to your steps as you follow Jesus. Don't be lulled into sleep by this evil culture. Don't be lulled to sleep into thinking like stuff like this. I'll do it tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. You say, wait a minute. There's always a tomorrow. You don't have any guarantee of a tomorrow. Not only do you and I not have a guarantee of tomorrow, we don't have the guarantee that that opportunity is going to be there tomorrow if we make it to tomorrow. We don't have any guarantee that that opportunity is going to come back around tomorrow if we make it to tomorrow. We don't have tomorrow. Don't be lulled to sleep into thinking, I'll take care of that tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. And you know what? You don't have yesterday either.
Right.
Yesterday's gone. And those opportunities that presented themselves to you that you might not have grabbed onto and bought out that time, they're gone too. They're not coming back. It's history. Now, I understand that we will have consequences that linger throughout our days for decisions that we've made yesterday.
Right.
And if you haven't figured that one out, you got a world of hurt coming at you.
Oh, yeah.
Because we refuse to seize opportunities, there's consequences of that.
Yeah.
And those consequences can linger. We do seize opportunities, or we do think the opportunity is one thing when it's another, and we make a bad decision with that opportunity. There will be consequences for that poor decision that linger. But the simple fact of the matter is, to make a right decision about an opportunity that presented itself yesterday for you to do something with it yesterday's gone. It's not coming back. There is no tomorrow, there is no yesterday. So what does that mean? We've only got now. We've only got today. You and I only have today and the opportunities that present themselves to us today. Okay? We need to have wisdom. We need to be using our minds as we seek to be redeeming the times. So, you only have the day. My question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the opportunities that are here today? Because tomorrow's tomorrow. And I know that this is philosophical, but philosophically speaking, tomorrow never comes. It's always tomorrow. I'll start serving God tomorrow. I'll start my new diet tomorrow. I'll start living a healthier lifestyle tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. And yesterday is gone. The question is, there is now and the opportunities of now today. What are you going to do with those opportunities? See? What are you going to do with those opportunities? The wise person, the thinking person, the person that's redeeming the time, they're watching their step. Do you get that? They're watching their step. And they're seeing those opportunities, and they're taking advantage of those opportunities while they're watching their step. See? So, don't be unthinking ones, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I love this word, understanding. It's really different. It literally means to be standing together with. The word understanding in the Koine text literally means to be standing together with. So that causes us to think there's of two things. Number one, what are we standing together, and what are we standing it together with? Right? You got something you're standing together, and you got something you're standing it together with. Right? Okay? So let's think about that. We are standing together something, and the something here is the will of God. Okay? You see that here in the verse. Be understanding, or standing together, what the will of the Lord is. Now, somebody's going to ask the question, well, what's the will of the Lord? You just kind of have to wait, because we're going to get to that later on in the chapter. Just hang on. There is the will of the Lord, though.
Amen.
There is His desire. There is the thing that the Lord wants from us. Alright? So we need to be taking and standing together what the Lord wants from us with what? Well, we stand together the will of the Lord with, check this out, our walking about as children of light. We take our walking about as children of light, our watching our step, our walking circumspectly, our walking as wise ones, our redeeming the time because the days of evil, our thinking these things through, we stand that together with the will of the Lord. See, that's wisdom. That's smart. That's redeeming the time. Okay? We have opportunity given to us right now by our Heavenly Father. What are we going to do with it? If we're smart, we'll take His desire and we'll stand it together with His walk, with our walk, see? So think about it. What are we going to do with these opportunities? What about your personal time? I need to spend more time with God. I need to spend more time in His Word. I need to spend more time with my family. I need to spend more time with my spouse. When are you going to do that? How about right now is the time to do that? See? Don't put it off until tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. All you've got is today. Don't wait. Hey, listen to this. Don't wait for the perfect time. I'll start serving God when the time is right. I'll start reading God's Word and studying God's Word when the time is right. I'll start taking better care of my family, spending more time and giving more attention to my family and my spouse when the time is right. Listen to me, the days are evil. The time is never going to be right. If you're waiting for the right time, it's never going to happen. You've got to take advantage of the opportunity right now, knowing that it might not be the right time because the days are evil and the current of this culture is going against you, see. So what are you going to do with the opportunity? When are you going to start finally studying the Bible? When are you finally going to start praying over the Bible? When are you finally going to start teaching the Bible? When are you finally going to start the conversation with somebody else about the Bible? When are you finally going to start witnessing the Bible? When is it going to be? Tomorrow? Tomorrow never comes. Yesterday's gone. Well, when the time is right, the time's never going to be right. The world, the days are evil. When are you going to say, I see this opportunity and I'm going to seize it? See.
Amen.
Would you not agree with me that throwing away treasure is unwise?
Right.
I think everybody would say, that's just really, let's use a less sophisticated word than unwise. That's really dumb to throw away treasure.
Amen.
We would agree with that, wouldn't we?
Yes.
Would you not recognize that you have a treasure of an opportunity to serve God right here, right now, today?
Yes.
It's a treasure to have that opportunity to serve God, to follow Jesus, to be used by Him for His honor and glory. Throwing that away is foolish. My friends, not recognizing the opportunity because you think you're going to wait for a more appropriate time, that's foolish. There's never going to be an appropriate time because the days are evil. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow's always going to be tomorrow. All you've got is today. Let's not be foolish. Let's not be foolish. Last thing and I'm done. We see repeated throughout the Scripture a figure of speech that warns us of limited privileges and the application of spiritual principles. And you know what that repeated figure of speech is? It's a door. We see this found throughout Scripture. For instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes, "For a great door, an effectual door, is opened unto me. There is an opportunity that is standing in front of me. And the days are evil. There's many adversaries. But I've got this opportunity in front of me. I recognize the door." And the Apostle Paul says, I'm going to seize it. I don't know that there's anybody in human history that seized opportunity like the Apostle Paul did.
Right.
Wise man. He saw it and he grabbed it even though he knew it might not be the right time. It might not be the best time. And the time may not be most opportune. The opportunity is there. I'm going to take it. But then there are many, many, many examples where we see this. The door was shut. The door was shut. That means the opportunity was passed. The Old Testament tells us that Noah and his family entered into the ark. And you know what it says after they entered into the ark? The door was shut. And the opportunity for those people of that culture to enter into that ark of safety, to avoid the separation of the baptism of flood, once that door was shut, that opportunity was gone. Now, Jesus told a story, a parable about five virgins who were foolish and five virgins who were wise. And the five who were wise, you know why they were wise? They made prior preparation. And the foolish, you know why they were foolish? They did not make prior preparation. And so when the opportunity came, the foolish ones had to go off and get prepared. And while the foolish ones were off getting prepared, the feast began. And you know what Jesus says in that parable? The door was shut. The opportunity was gone. The opportunity was gone, and they missed out. The opportunity, beloved, to serve is now.
Amen.
Don't wait till later. I think the greatest example of the failure of an opportunity, though, is seen in a man that was with Jesus every step of his ministry. The man's name was Judas Iscariot.
Yeah.
Now I know, I will stipulate, I will accept that y'all have a good pastor.
Amen.
Some of y'all are missing the humor in this, but that's okay. Judas had the greatest pastor that's ever walked the earth. The best pastor that's ever walked the earth. He was with Jesus 3 years every step of the way. He heard the greatest preaching, the greatest instruction that's ever been given. Your pastor, he's the biggest plagiarist on the planet. Every message he preaches comes from a book he didn't write. Okay? I'm the biggest plagiarist there is. Jesus had his own original material. Okay? And it's the best material there's ever been. Judas saw Jesus' miracles. He heard Jesus' teaching. He heard the plan of salvation over and over and over again. But what happened? His life ended cursed. Because he refused. He refused Jesus. He allowed Satan, he welcomed Satan to enter into him, according to Scripture. He betrayed Jesus with a kiss. And his life ended by self-hanging. And eventually his body being dashed to pieces on rocks. If ever there was a man that missed out on his opportunity, it was Judas. Listen, my friend, you've got opportunity in front of you to serve God, to follow Jesus as closely as you can, to be used by Him for His honor and glory. Don't let the opportunity slip by.
Amen.
Make the most of it. Every one of us, we have a limited time, and the opportunities in this time that we call life are in the midst of evil days. And the opportunities don't come around all the time. Don't let those opportunities slip away. You can't get them back because yesterday is gone and gone forever. And ultimately, finally, eventually, one day the door of your life will be shut. And the opportunity will be gone. So, what are you doing with your opportunity? Right now, there are people, members of this church, we have opportunity. We have opportunity to serve God. We have opportunity to follow Jesus. We have opportunity to start the conversation with somebody about following Jesus. We have the opportunity to start the conversation with somebody about who Jesus is and what He's done and how He can be their Savior and how the Heavenly Father can be their Father. We have that opportunity to make disciples. We have the opportunity to be submission and serving one another and holding one another up and carrying one another and bearing one another's burdens. We have those opportunities, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but right now.
Amen.
What are you doing with that opportunity? I don't know. There may be somebody here that you've got the opportunity right now to repent of sins and trust in Jesus as Savior. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. You don't have any guarantee of it. You don't have any guarantee that you're going to live long enough to walk out of this building.
Amen.
The opportunity to call upon Jesus as Savior is before you now.
Amen.
What are you going to do with that opportunity? You have no guarantee that you'll ever have another opportunity. So as we consider our opportunities, be wise. Make the most of it. Make the most of it.